The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the first thing I want to say is that I'd like to acknowledge all of you for the beautiful intention and the effort that it took to come out this morning and spend your time meditating. It's really quite a beautiful thing. And you could have done probably 100 other things with your morning, but yet you chose to do this. So it's worthy of acknowledging that and appreciating the wholesomeness that actually would bring you to do such a thing. So we come to meditate, and some of us are experienced meditators and some of us are newer meditators, but there's a tendency to think that practice is just meditation or is exclusively meditation, that this is what practice is all about. And it's a huge part of practice, but the meditation itself, the methods of meditation that we learn and take up are sometimes very subtle and refined, and it's quite easy to be faced with the issues that we're all faced with as human beings and then try to use our meditation to deal with those issues So it's what I'm pointing to is that sometimes the meditation is so refined and subtle that we can get lost in the meditation itself or in the meditative techniques. And so when issues come up in our lives that are real issues, because we're human beings, it's hard to find grounding. So one of the things that I know most of you know, but it bears repeating, is that the way that people in Asia take up this practice is first they enter the practice as children through the cultivation of goodness or virtue. The Pali word for that is sila. And the practice of sila, I mean, this is a practice, is actually one where there's a series of sort of precepts or training guidelines that people are pointed to. And these training guidelines are offered for lay people as well as for monastics. These training guidelines will develop in us the inclination towards wholesomeness and virtue. And cultivating that habit grounds us in a place of stability so that when we're faced with challenges in our lives, whether they're big challenges or little challenges, and we can't just use meditation as a way to sort of either address the challenge or get through the challenge, we can always fall back on the conscious directing of our mind towards the development of wholesomeness. So what's happening? What is this challenge presenting to us? What is this bringing up in us? Is this something that feels unsettling, or is this something that feels a little bit more balanced? And so we can come back to the more simple way of being, just rooted in goodness and wholesomeness. this is something that's so obvious we miss it. And we sometimes make too much out of what's really happening for us. This whole process of being a human being is really mysterious, and we can get so carried away by trying to figure things out that we can use our meditation methods, our meditation techniques, to actually obscure what's going on within us, or what's arising in us. And I'll give you an example. We can use the process in the mindfulness practice of noting in a way where, instead of it being a help, it's a hindrance, because we get so lost in trying to identify one thing after another after another after another in minute detail that the mind just becomes lost in the process of the noting. And so if one can just feel that lostness and feel whether this is giving rise to a feeling within you of stability and balance, or whether this is leading you towards, you know, just driving yourself crazy, you can begin to see your way in a much more simple kind of approach to addressing what's arising for us. I'm trying to say something important here, and I'm trying to do it in a very clear and simple way, and I may be missing the point. I guess really what I'm trying to say is that life will always throw us curveballs. It doesn't matter how careful we are or how much we meditate. There's a tendency for us to think, for people to think, that they can meditate their way through these curveballs. It's my experience that that's not always the case. The meditation will reveal to us the curveballs. It won't necessarily help us deflect them. And we tend to approach them with meditation as a deflection. So to step back and to take refuge in simple wholesomeness, in simple cultivation of virtue, you will always be safe. You will always have a safe place. And from that place, you can look with fresh eyes and enter your meditation in a fresh way, because you're safe, you're stable. The virtue will protect you. That's why we follow the precepts in Buddhism. So for those of you who may not know what these precepts are, I'll tell you what the five precepts for lay people are. The first one is that we undertake the training to not harm or kill other living beings. We undertake the training to not steal, to not take what isn't given to us. We undertake the training to abstain from sexual misconduct, from using sexuality in a way that's harmful to ourselves or to other people. We undertake the training to abstain from lying or from false or harmful speech, from using speech in destructive ways. And we undertake the precept to not cloud our mind with intoxicants. Because when we do, we can do things that are heedless and easily lie, steal, cheat, and do all and break out the first four precepts. So these precepts ground us in a kind of place that's very safe. And when we meet these deep challenges that come up in our practice, the meditation is so refined, this experience of meditation is so refined that when we look to the meditation itself, sometimes that will provide us the refuge, but sometimes it's like trying to hold on to air or something. But the precepts themselves, the development of these virtuous training rules, our training guidelines, actually will give you the stability to deal with anything that happens to come up, anything at all. Even trying to say something really important in a simple way. So I want to thank you all.